So today's reading, it's New Year's. I fought with the lectionary about doing this because it is awful. It is an awful part of the Christmas story. But here it goes, and I'll explain why in a minute. After the, this is beginning with Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 13. After the scholars were gone, the angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child, his mother, under cover of darkness, and they were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached, "I call my son out of Egypt." Herod, when he realized that the scholars had tricked him, flew into a rage. He commanded the murder of every little boy 2 years old and under who lived in Bethlehem and the surrounding hills. He determined that age from the information that he had got from the scholars. Yeah. Okay. So you'll notice if you, when you looked at the bulletin that the title of the sermon was "When Bad People Do Bad Things." And that's basically what I got out of that reading, is the message that we need to hear, even coming into the new year, is the simple fact that, you know what, as much as God loves us, there are still bad people. And bad people are going to do bad things. You know, we had an interesting conversation just before the service, talking about, what was it, the phrase you used?
Equivalencies.
False equivalencies. There you go. You know, if it's bad, it's bad. You know, we talked in this church a few weeks ago in a sermon where we were talking, we did that whole study on the James. And James, at the end of his writing, says, if you know what is good and you don't do it, it's evil. So, with that said, people always use this as an excuse. Matter of fact, the way this has been preached, and I can't stand it, and that's why I decided that I wanted to try and turn it around today, is the fact that people use this like God still has us all on a puppet string. First of all, if you do the theological, exegetical work on this, we are not sure that the slaughter of these children ever happened. That's number one. Number two, we know that Matthew was trying to put together a story to make sure that the people who read his gospel would understand that Jesus was the Messiah. And therefore, he was trying to weave into it all the different prophecies from before. And that's why, you know, you get, what is it, the prophecy from Rachel. And, you know, Rachel, she had a horrible time. I mean, Jacob was her husband, and what's her name was her father, and, you know, was it Rachel that cried for her children, the lament for her children? I forget. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point
Elijah
is...
Elijah was one of the prophets.
Yeah. And so there's a... Remember, we've got scripture here that we're looking back. We know what Jesus was. We know what Jesus did. We know whom Jesus claimed to be. So now, 30 years after the fact, 40 years after the fact, you got to kind of put the story together. With that said, Herod was not a nice guy. Let me read to you what I found out about Herod. Because also, by the way, this is tied into Moses. Do y'all remember Moses had to go into exile too and come back? And so that was the whole, the son of David is going to come out of exile thing. And that is part in Jewish lore, Rachel. Did I say Rachel?
Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel. That is part of the Midrash of Judaism. But Matthew's story is just more than that. It's a deliberate reminder of the kind of world that Jesus was born into. While Herod may not have slaughtered Bethlehem's babies, we don't have any proof of that, but he was a child killer. We know that. He had three of his own children executed under the accusation of conspiring against their father in 7 BC. His sons Alexander and Arbolus by his second wife Marian, whom he killed in 29 BC for adultery, and 5 days before his own death in 4 BC, his oldest son, Antipater, something like that, by his first wife, Doris. Herod is said to have made Augustus remark that he would rather be Herod's pig than his son. The point of that joke on the part of Augustus was that the Greeks understood the Jews wouldn't eat pork. And the Greek word for pig is hysis, and for son is hysos, and they sounded alike. And as a Jew, Herod wouldn't eat pork, but he was more than willing to murder his sons. So, understand that as we move into 2017, if you're tempted to walk away from your faith because you think that God has somehow left this world, God has never left the world. God has always been here. God is always with you. It's in those challenges. Was there an angel that came to Joseph and said, move? Or did Joseph just see the lay of the land with Herod? Does it matter? It does not matter. He protected his family. He did what he had to do to make sure that that baby grew up. He knew that he had a special child. And the other thing that I want to finish up by saying is, look, we always try to make the Christmas season more than it is. You know, my husband, God love him, watches every Christmas movie that's ever been made. And I tell him that, you know, after the first three or four, you get kind of tired of it because it's always got a girl in it that's scorned. She's going to fall in love and get her man around the Christmas tree. Okay? That's what we try to do to Christmas. We come up with this fake idea that if we could just have peace, everything would be okay. Look, folks, God gave us a free will. That is God's greatest gift to this creation, is the fact that we have the ability to choose. And because we have the ability to choose, there are going to be bad people, and they are going to do bad things. With that in mind, I found these two examples for you. I'm from Chicago, so you'll enjoy this. Mike Royko was a great columnist in Chicago years ago. He's passed away. He shared the other side of a Christmas story in one of his columns. He told about a stranger who put $1,600 worth of gold coins in the Salvation Army bucket. The person placed a gift there quietly and anonymously. Now, that's what we're looking for in a Christmas story for the media, right? They're looking to demonstrate the spirit of caring that Christmas brings about. Unfortunately, there is a follow-up to that story. The local Salvation Army office began getting phone calls about gold coins. The gold coins had been stolen, and the thief dropped them in the kettle to get rid of them. So when Royko told another story about a man driving home from work on Christmas Eve who saw a young boy fall through the ice in a nearby lake. The man stopped his car, jumped out, tore off his jacket, crawled out onto the ice, and he managed somehow to save the drowning boy. Happy ending, wouldn't you say? Unfortunately, the man discovered that while he was risking his life saving that boy, somebody in the crowd of onlookers stole his jacket and the envelope containing his Christmas bonus. Unfortunately, folks, we all live where people will make bad choices, even at Christmas. With the promise of peace and hope on our lips and in our hearts, those bad choices are still going to be present. It was personified in the Christmas story by Herod. Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I may worship him too, knowing that he wanted to kill him because the message of God's unconditional love scared him like nothing else. Understand, folks, people are going to make bad choices. Your only obligation in this world, in this new year, is to find a way to love unconditionally. God bless you.